This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, June 14th, 2010. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, Poems for an Oil Spill. After September 11th, certain poems that seemed to speak to the event started circulating on lampposts around New York City and on the internet, especially September 1st, 1939 by Auden, which was even read on NPR by Scott Simon.
I sit in one of the dives on 52nd Street, uncertain and afraid, as the clever hopes expire of a low, dishonest decade. Waves of anger and fear circulate over the bright and darkened lands of the earth, obsessing our private lives. The unmentionable odor of death offends the September night.
There is just something about calamity that reawakens a hunger for poetry. The BP spill doesn't seem to have done that, at least not yet. As of this recording, hundreds of thousands and probably millions of barrels of oil have already gushed into the Gulf of Mexico. The extent of this calamity is not yet known, and the country still seems to be in a state of shock and disbelief. Are there poems we can turn to that capture the present mood? I'm going to play a few contenders for you from what we have in our audio archive. First up is a short poem by Chase Twitchell, which questions the value of the poetry being written today in our age of environmental apocalypse.
This poem is called Vestibule, and it asks what I think is probably the most important question we can ask right now, which is, what should our poems be about now? Vestibule. What etiquette holds us back from more intimate speech, especially now at the end of the world? Can't we begin a conversation here in the vestibule, then gradually move it inside? What holds us back from saying things outright? We've killed the earth, yet we speak of other things. Our words should cauterize all wounds to the truth.
That was Vestibule by Chase Twitchell from her book Dog Language, which was published in 2005 by Copper Canyon. Now, in that poem, Chase Twitchell accuses poets of basically playing the violin while the planet burns. This is true to an extent, I suppose, but one very notable exception has been W.S. Merwin, whose poems have been preoccupied with environmental destruction for decades now. Take, for example, his poem from 1999 called In Time.
One of the things that, as Empson told us all a generation and a half or so ago, was that English thrives on ambiguity and makes ambiguity the way ferns make spores, I mean, all over the place. A title such as In Time is full of ambiguities. In Time. The night the world was going to end, when we heard those explosions not far away and the loudspeakers telling us about the vast fires on the backwater consuming undisclosed remnants and warning us over and over to stay indoors and make no signals, you stood at the open window, the light of one candle back in the room. We put on high boots to be ready for wherever we might have to go. And we got out the oysters and sat at the small table feeding them to each other, first with the fork, then from our mouths to each other, until there were none, and we stood up and started to dance without music. Slowly we danced around and around in circles, and after a while we hummed, when the world was about to end, all those years, all those nights ago.
That certainly is a haunting poem. That was W.S. Merwin reading at the Library of Congress in 1999. You can hear more of that recording in our podcast series, Essential American Poets, on poetryfoundation.org. Here's another poem, and this one's by Louise Glück.
The next poem I'm going to read was written something like 40 years ago. Can you imagine that? It's one of the earliest that was collected in my first book, and one of the few I think I can still look at. It's called Cottonmouth Country. Fish bones walked the waves off Hatteras, and there were other signs that death wooed us by water, wooed us by land, among the pines, an uncurled cotton mouth that rolled on moss, reared in the polluted air. Birth, not death, is the hard loss. I know. I also left a skin there.
That was Cottonmouth Country by Louise Glick, recorded at the Library of Congress in 2004 and collected in the first four books of poems published by Echo Press. Now, one poem that I felt a need to go back and reread in my own funk over the BP oil spill is Philip Larkin's famous poem, Going, Going. Now, we don't have a recording of it yet, and we don't even have permission to read it, but it so suits the moment that I just wanted to quote the first three stanzas. Here's how it begins. I thought it would last my time, the sense that beyond the town, there would always be fields and farms where the village louts could climb such trees as were not cut down. I knew there'd be false alarms in the papers about old streets and split-level shopping, but some have always been left so far. And when the old part retreats, as the bleak high-risers come, we can always escape in the car. Things are tougher than we are, just as Earth will always respond, however we mess it about. Chuck filth in the sea, if you must. The tides will be clean beyond. But what do I feel now? Doubt? Well, I don't know about you, but doubt is what I'm feeling about our ability to ever, ever, ever get our environmental house in order. We'd love to hear your thoughts on what poems speak to you about the BP spill. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.